I challenge you to a duel.
It's the only argument I need. I don't want to talk to you no more, you.
You got a lot of nerve.
Soon you will know what it is like to be defeated.
Stop defending him, Sean.
All right, let's go.
Welcome into the Sleepwire Great Debate Show, everybody, where we do a quick debate-style argument between two players. I am your host, Professor Chris, and with me is special guest Marcus Grant. Marcus, how's it going, man? Welcome back to the show.
Excited to be here.
Excited to have you. I think we've had you on the main show plenty of times, but never on the Great Debate, so I'm looking forward to this.
Totally.
So here is how the show goes, for those of you listening for the first time. We each have a player that we are arguing for. We get 2 minutes to argue for our player, 90 seconds for a rebuttal, and then we finish it up with final thoughts on our player, and then that's the show. And this week, we are debating Nyheim Hines and Zach Moss. I have Hines, and Marcus, you have Zach Moss. Are you ready to get into it?
I'm ready to go. I'm all about this Zach Moss life.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing it. All right, so kicking it off with Nyheim Hines here. Look, the guy may be 5'9", but he's just flat out electric with the ball in his hands. I mean, he's so difficult to tackle. He's like the poor man's Alvin Kamara out there, basically. He's got quite possibly the best hands on the Indianapolis Colts this season, which is a little bit different. Usually it's T.Y. Hilton is the sure-handed guy, but it's definitely been Nyheim Hines. 32 targets, and he's turned that into 26 receptions. And through 6 weeks, he's on pace for 70 catches and 533 receiving yards. And it doesn't seem to matter what the score of the game is. Nyheim Hines has his role in that offense. He's the third down guy who can handle some first and second down work. And he's the 2-minute drill guy as well. When Marlon Mack was healthy, Hines had this role. When Jonathan Taylor took over because Mack got hurt, Hines had this role. This past week, when the Colts absolutely dominated the Lions, Jordan Wilkins got the work. Jonathan Taylor's work got cut. Jordan Wilkins cut into that. Nyheim Hines still had his role. In fact, Jordan Wilkins had 20 carries to Taylor's 11, and he looked way better doing it as well. Now, we did get that report that came out that maybe he's got a bit of an ankle issue, but still, Nyheim Hines' role was secure. It was weird in the receiving game for the Colts. 11 different players caught at least one pass. But leading the team in receiving yards was Hines. He had 3 catches for 54 yards and 2 touchdowns. And if you go back and watch both of those plays, you'll see what I'm talking about, why I comped him to Alvin Kamara. I mean, they were really, really good plays. And he's also surprisingly very involved in the red zone. He's had 15 looks in the red zone. And when I say looks, I mean either targets or rushing attempts. And you can compare that to Jonathan Taylor's 23. I mean, the lead dog should get, you know, the lion's share of the work. That's pretty comparable. Taylor's the starter, and Hines is still right there in red zone usage. 6 of his 9 red zone rushes have been inside the 10. The Colts are giving their scat back the ball close to the goal line.
All right, well, here's the thing. I like Nyheim Hines as a player. I think he's a very talented guy, and I think a lot of what you said about him having the same role regardless of the situation, I think that's all really true and good. The problem I have is just the consistency with Nyheim Hines on a week-to-week basis. I think we saw before the season Frank Reich saying there could be a game where Nyheim Hines has 10 catches. Great. Tell us when. That would be awesome if we sort of knew that sort of thing going into the season or into a specific week. I think the issue right now is that there are so many guys in that backfield that they have to try to keep healthy and happy. You've got Jonathan Taylor, who is their prized rookie possession, who we think is at some point going to have a breakout game. Who really knows? There's still Jordan Wilkins there that we saw be productive on Sunday before the injury. Marlon Mack was a guy there. So there's just so many guys that are going to run through that stable of the backfield for the Colts. And it's really hard to kind of keep pace with what Nyheim Hines is going to do on a week-to-week basis. Throw in the fact that this is an offense still sort of looking for some sort of identity here. I mean, Phillip Rivers has not been the same guy we were used to seeing for all those years with the Chargers. It's been a struggle for them to throw the football with any sort of real consistency. And we know Hines really is more of a pass catcher than a runner. So while I love these big blow-up games, I just don't know that they're going to come often enough for anybody to really count on Nyheim Hines on a regular basis.
Fair enough. Let's go ahead and move to Zach Moss. Marcus, 2 minutes on the clock. Take it away, man.
All right, here's the thing about Zach Moss. We love shiny new things, especially when it comes to fantasy football, and Zach Moss definitely fits in that category. I mean, he's a guy who is a big bruising back at the University of Utah, kind of do a little bit of everything, but especially run between the tackles, to run down near the goal line, to run in those short yardage situations. And he steps into a situation in Buffalo where he takes over for Frank Gore. And it was Frank Gore that did a lot of that dirty work for the Bills offense last year, much to the chagrin of anybody who was a fan of Devin Singletary last year. It got to the point, and still sort of is the point, that I feel like Devin Singletary needs three forms of identification just to get in the end zone. And part of that is because Zach Moss has become that guy to get those opportunities. He is a strong runner. He's definitely more the thunder to Singletary's lightning there. And if it's not going to be Josh Allen down near the end zone, it's going to be Zach Moss. And I think even when the matchup is bad, I think there's more consistency there. And I think there are fewer mouths that you have to worry about feeding in that Buffalo offense. It's sort of a two-headed running back attack there in Buffalo between Singletary and Zach Moss. And so I think his role is going to be more consistent week to week. And especially now that he's healthy and back on the field and getting those opportunities, I think Zach Moss is going to be that guy that you're going to see the Bills lean on a lot. And I think especially as we get now into fall and winter and the weather gets colder up there in Buffalo and it gets harder to throw the football, we're going to see the Bills really lean on that running game a lot. And a lot of it is going to be Zach Moss, especially when they get in the red zone, especially when they get down near the goal line and they've got to punch the football in. I think that's when you're really going to see Zach Moss make some hay.
Still got about 20 seconds if you want to add anything else to it.
Sure. I'm a Pac-12 guy, and Zach Moss is a Pac-12 guy. So us Pac-12 guys got to stick together here. I mean, we got to kind of, you know, band together here on the West Coast. I know Pac-12 football has been much maligned, understandably. So whenever I have a chance to pump up a Pac-12 guy, I'm going to do it. So all hail Zach Moss here.
All right. Well, so getting again into my rebuttal against him here, yeah, 14 for 81 and 2, that's a big day for a team's RB2 for sure. But when you watch him, it's just, it's not exciting. You know, this past week, 81 rushing yards, 0 yards after contact, 0 broken tackles. In fact, he has only got 4 broken tackles on the season. He only averages 1.3 yards after contact for the year on 43 rushing attempts. He's just not breaking tackles. He's going down as soon as he gets touched. That's pretty awful. In 3 of the 5 games, he's had a yards before contact rate of less than 3, including, I think, his first game was 9 carries for 11 yards and was negative yards before initial contact. Just pretty bad. Now, that might be an offensive line issue, but, you know, the offensive line directly impacts the running back. Let's see. You know, it's also only 8 targets on the season. He's just not a finesse guy. He's not breaking tackles. He's been the beneficiary of some big holes created by the offensive line that Trent Richardson probably could have hit. He's a great dynasty stash, but hard to trust in redraft. In the next 2 games for the Bills, you know, we're in bye week hell right now. A lot of teams on byes coming up. So you're looking for the waivers. These are important weeks, but this coming week, he's got the Seattle Seahawks, and then following that, Arizona Cardinals, both really good offenses. I think we're going to be looking at some Devin Singletary garbage time receiving numbers as the Bills play from behind.
All right, that's fair. That's fair. You know, I still think, though, I just think his role is going to be more consistent, but you make some valid points.
Well, guys, before we move into final thoughts, I want to quickly mention pristineauction.com. Check them out. You get 100% free to bid auctions. They got signed jerseys, signed memorabilia for really anything. Use promo code SleeperWire when you check out, and you'll get $5 off your first purchase. Now, let's move into final thoughts. I'm going to take it back to Nyheim Hines here. So the Colts have the best offensive line in the NFL and a quarterback with a vast history of throwing the ball to running backs. You had all those years with LaDainian Tomlinson and Darren Sproles, Danny Woodhead, Melvin Gordon, and now you're seeing it with Nyheim Hines. Hopefully Jonathan Taylor. I mean, I'm a Colts fan. Hopefully we'll see that with Jonathan Taylor in the long run, but you're seeing it with Hines as well. Now, I'm not comparing Hines to LaDainian Tomlinson here. I'm simply saying that Phillip Rivers has thrown to his running backs his entire career, and we know what kind of value, or he knows what kind of value that Hines provides. Now, Honestly, I can't believe he's only 29% owned. Right now, during bye weeks, he's definitely a guy I think you can feel comfortable throwing into your flex if you need 10 points with, you know, certainly the upside to give you 20. Frank Reich came out Monday and said that Jonathan Taylor has a, quote, little bit of an ankle issue, and that's why he could maybe get 22 yards and 11 carries. If he does happen to miss a game, that's great news for Nyheim Hines. The Colts welcome the Baltimore Ravens this week as well, and they can definitely put points up fast. And if they get up on the Colts, look for a big PPR day from Hines.
All right. Well, I'm going to wrap up here on Zach Moss here. I think with Zach Moss, the role is just going to be what the role is. And I think, you know, unlike some other backfields, and not just the Colts, but a lot of backfields around the NFL, the role of the second running back is really dependent on what happens to the first running back. For instance, you mentioned Jonathan Taylor and his ankle injury might impact Nyheim Hines. For Zach Moss, I think his role is going to stay consistent regardless of what happens with Devin Singletary. He's going to be that guy that gets some of those money touches, especially what we want for fantasy, down near the end zone here. And I think having a quarterback like Josh Allen, who's playing as well as he has and being able to stretch the field with guys like Stephon Diggs and John Brown, means that it's going to be hard for defenses to really line up and try to stop the running game. Whereas Phillip Rivers kind of struggling right now. I think that's going to impact how the Colts are able to run the football. So I think with Zach Moss, you're going to see things pick up, especially down the road. I'm surprised that he's not more rostered in a lot of fantasy leagues. His numbers were surprisingly low when I checked earlier in the day. So I think we're going to start to see more fantasy managers kind of jump in on this. I think the injury sort of slowed things down, but I do think we're going to see more Zach Moss down the road. And I think he's going to be that guy who gets a lot of big touches. And I think he's going to propel a lot of people into the fantasy playoffs when we get close to the end of the year.
I will say Phillip Rivers does have 6 touchdowns over the last 2 games.
It's true.
Exactly. He's gonna lead the Colts to a Super Bowl. So
I love your optimism.
We gotta hope, right? We gotta hope. Well, all right, guys, that is gonna wrap it up for this week's Great Debate. Marcus, thanks so much for joining me, man. This was a lot of fun.
Dude, I appreciate you coming on. You having me on. What am I talking about? I appreciate you having me on. This was definitely a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. Why don't you tell our listeners once again where they can find you and support you?
Yeah, the best place to find me is on Twitter at Marcus G, MarcasG. But the NFL Fantasy Football Show, it streams 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And then NFL Fantasy Live on NFL Network 5 days a week. Check your local listings and set your DVR.
Yeah, I mean, you just said thank you to me for having me on your show. So I look forward to getting that email. And
it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that'll be cool. All right. Well, thanks again, man. You can also follow us on Twitter at SleepTheWire Show, and I'm on there at prof_ChrisSW. Marcus, this is a blast. Everybody else, thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week.